Welcome to the Newtown Big Dreams Podcast, an interview-style talk show that's your gateway to the fabulous and fascinating people who relocated to start a new life. Whether you're new to our podcast or your city, our fellow neighbors from across Canada, North America, and the entire English-speaking world share their stories of reaching new horizons and big dreams. So sit back and relax as we navigate in-depth and intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, executives, creatives, and anyone who can share their story about their Newtown big dreams. And now, here's your host, Luke J. Menkes.
So Annie, thank you so much for coming down here on a Sunday. And I understand you've only been in Kelowna since October.
Yes.
So tell us the story of how you ended up here.
It was a bit of a surprise, Luke, because when I first came, I came here to be with my daughter, who's now she and I are both online marketers.
Okay.
And she came here in August, and I came here in October just to, you know, spend some time with her, maybe a month or so. And we ended up getting this spectacular place on the water. It's Sunset Drive Waterfront Properties, I believe.
Yeah.
And the day that we moved in, she sat me down and she said, "Mom, would you consider staying here for 6 months?" And it's so funny because at first I was resistant. I was thinking, I don't know if I want to stay here for 6 months. And then I think it took me, I don't know, a day, and I decided, okay, let's do it.
So she came first.
Yeah.
And where did you come from? Did you both come from the same city?
Yeah, technically, yes. I came from Victoria, and she had spent some time in Alberta. And she was considering maybe spending some time in Calgary. Now, to set the scene, we're both kind of nomadic as well, a little bit of the gypsy thing going on. So we move out of this place on the 23rd of April. We come back on the 1st of September, but in the meantime, then we go to San Diego. We're going to Portugal together. She'll spend time in Portugal. I'm going to Ireland, and then we'll come back to Kelowna.
Wow. So very nice. So how did she settle on Kelowna? I find that lifestyle fascinating.
Yeah.
I've lived in four different countries. I moved a lot when I was younger. And in my 20s and 30s, I moved a ton.
Yeah.
Now I'm a little more stable. But a lot of moving. So how did your daughter choose Kelowna?
It was really random.
Yeah.
It was really random. More like she had a common connection who was already here in Kelowna.
And a friend.
Yeah, a friend. And to her, it seemed like a good fit because she was kind of in between niching what she would do with her business. And so Kelowna seemed like a really good fit as opposed to Calgary.
Yeah.
Because Kelowna was more into tourism, wineries, you know, experiences. And that's what she was thinking of niching her business into.
Right.
So
it's very cool. There's we've interviewed a lot of people in the tech industry, various types, marketers, and also venture capitalists, people who fund startups. And it's occurred to me that Kelowna is a really great spot because it's a great place to live. And with the internet, we can run all kinds of businesses from anywhere. So we might as well be in a city that's great to begin with.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And what I've found is I've met really incredible people that I don't think I would have expected to meet here. You know, I guess you have like a preconceived mindset.
Right.
Oh, Kelowna is smaller than Victoria. So therefore, you know.
Right. Yeah, I certainly have that belief when I got here 7 years ago. But it's really great. The people are great. Most of us are from somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also a little bit of background was every single summer I would come here with my family as a child to vacation here.
So you were familiar with it. It wasn't completely brand new.
Yeah. No, it wasn't completely brand new.
Yeah. And it's certainly changed a lot.
Yes, it really has.
I mean, even that Sunset Strip, I think those buildings are like 1990s, most of the older ones. And then, of course, there's some new ones.
Yeah.
Some brand new ones. And
yeah. But what we love about it is we just fall out of the place.
Right.
And everything we...
Everything's right there.
Everything we want is right there.
Do you have some favorite restaurants down there?
Yes. We really love... well, it's... I can't figure out the... I can't remember the name, I should say. Mm. It's a little Thai place near the Prestige Hotel.
Okay, do you know it?
Right across from the park.
I do. I do know it.
Yeah, I forgot the name. I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, the food is exceptional.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, when I go out to eat, I like to be reminded of places that I've traveled to.
Okay.
So Thailand is one of them. I haven't been to India, but I always frequent that Indian place on, I believe it's Ellis.
Yes, there's Dawat on Ellis.
Yeah, that place is exceptional as well.
I think it's a family, and they own several Indian restaurants. There's three that I know of that I believe is the same family. Because I used to do deliveries, food deliveries, and I would pick up from each of those three, and I would see the same people. Hmm. Right? And they'd be, I'm working at this one tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They have my favorite butter chicken in the entire town.
It's so good. So good.
Very cool. So do you, you and your daughter both into online marketing, have you always done that? Has she always done that? Was it her who introduced you to that? Tell us a little bit about the background with that.
Well, to set up the scene, I was starting a travel company. Hmm. That was back in 2012, and I really didn't have a clue about how to go about it. I was a home-based travel agent at the time, and she then joined forces with me. Same with my son. They all kind of jumped on board, and we started this thing that we called Transform Travel. Mm. And our aim then was to take people, women in particular, on really life-changing travel experiences. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was writing a book about the life-changing power of travel. Mm-hmm. And I was, and how that book came about, I should say, was because I had gone on this like amazing trip for 6 months. First to Italy for 3 months. I worked in a winery, learned Italian, did salsa dancing, just met incredible people. And then I went to Ireland for another 3 months, and I worked for the Tourism Board of Ireland, worked in castles at the Dublin Horse Show. I toured 12 of the 32 counties.
Wow.
Again, it was just the most incredible experience. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I just thought, oh, this magic is never going to end. Mm-hmm. And then I got back home.
Right. What made you decide to come back home?
Well, first of all, you know, the bank account was
I see. So you were working, but it was spending faster than you were earning.
Yes and no. I mean, I went there with the purpose of, like, I had this dream. It was quite foggy at the time, but I had this dream of starting a tour, like a travel company. Mm-hmm. So the idea was to go back to Canada, launch it, and then, you know, go back to those two places, but take people on really out-of-the-box, transforming experiences. Mm-hmm. So going back to, you know, life tanking when I got back to Victoria, there were things that I did that created that this massive post-vacation blues. Mm-hmm. And that's what propelled me into, this case of the blues was so intense that I decided to mine that 6 months experience and try to find some gold nuggets, or try to find some pattern. What did I do before? what was I doing then? And what was I doing just before I got home that kind of undid the whole magic so that my life just went to hell in a handbasket, basically, after that experience? So what I came to realize is that we all make the same mistakes, or we all do these things just before we travel, mm-hmm. and just before we go home, we completely undo it.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, and this is something that I teach within a program that I have. So what I call this is the adventure principle. Mm. And in the adventure principle, there's five components of a life-changing journey. And those five components are, you have to have the right documents. You have to have a passport, right?
I was going to ask you about that. Was it hard to get work permission in those countries?
No, actually, because I went with a U.S.-based company called World Endeavors.
Okay.
And they set up the entire experience for me. Like, they set up the bare bones of it. And once I got there, I really had to work on some of the pieces myself, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Okay. To really personalize it.
Right.
Yeah.
So documentation is the first step.
And I use passport in kind of, like, I use these steps in a metaphorical sense. Okay. Because your passport is really who you become even before you jump on a plane and head out to that amazing destination. Mm-hmm. You're already becoming that before you get there.
Right.
And so the second thing is you must travel light. And again, these are all things you do before you get to your destination.
Right.
So traveling light is you lose the heavy baggage.
Right.
You know, you get really focused on what am I going to take in my suitcase? What are the essentials? And what's all the stuff I need to leave behind? Mm-hmm. The third thing is, you know exactly, specifically, which destination you're landing or flying into. Because mm-hmm. if you were to think about it, you know, let's say you go to the airport and you say to the ticketing agent, I want to go to Italy. Well, she's just going to look at you and say, you know, it's not enough. Be more specific, right? Is that Rome? Is it Venice? Milan, Bologna, Pisa, you know, any one of those. Because you really need to be specific about creating that adventure. Where specifically are you going?
Right.
And then the last two steps are, you need a mentor, someone who's been there before, who can guide you through the experience. Mm-hmm. And then the roadmap, the fast track to success, like the system, mm-hmm. which, you know, for a lot of people looks like the guidebook, like the Rick Steves thing that they pack around, or, you know, somewhere, something that can help you get from A to B once you're in that destination.
Right. Super cool. So how is this a metaphor for life, these five steps to a great adventure, I think you called it?
Yeah.
You said it's also a metaphor for life.
Yes. Well, okay. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? Because the adventure principle is essentially the process that I used to heal myself from an incurable cancer diagnosis.
Wow.
And that occurred after I took my two adult kids back with me to Italy and Ireland in 2013. We went on a site inspection tour and, you know, everything was set up, expenses were paid for, and, you know, we were taken to beautiful spots that would be on this, you know, amazing destination that we would then offer to women once we got back. But life just really surprised me by just kind of pulling the rug out from underneath me and saying, no, you're not doing it. And I had to wrestle with the fact that, okay, I'm not doing it, but I'm not going to live either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that diagnosis then was given to me just after I was recovering from surgery. Like, I was just coming to, the anesthetic had barely worn off, and I saw the oncologist at my bedside, and she, you know, started off by saying good things, but I didn't notice the look in her eyes or that her arms were folded. And that's when she said, rather defiantly, it's incurable.
Wow. So you had surgery and they discovered cancer.
Yeah. Well, during the surgery. I was diagnosed with cancer in July of that year. So this was fall of 2013. And the operation was to remove the tumor. And in my mind, I thought it would be all gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it just really hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. So it's incurable. So what did you do next?
I can't say. Okay. It's really bad language.
Right.
But basically, it was like, F you. I'm not going
directly
to die.
Directly to the doctor.
No, no, not, like to, not to the doctor.
Just in the air, like just.
In general, my mind, it was like, F
this
you.
This is unacceptable.
I'm not going to die. F you. This is not how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. You don't get to tell me how my life is going to end or when it's going to end.
Right.
And you just wait and see. I'm going to blow you away.
Right. To the cancer. Like,
no, to the doctor.
Oh, to the doctor.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm gonna prove that I'm going to
I'm going to prove that you're wrong and I'm right.
Now, just to be clear, this conversation's happening in your
in
head.
In my head, yes.
You didn't like blast out at the doctor while she was standing there.
No. No.
Right.
No. What I did say to her when she said those words is I said, can you please repeat that?
Yeah.
Because I didn't think she had the guts to say those words to me again.
Yeah.
And she did.
She did.
She said, yes, it's
that's going to be the toughest part of a doctor's job is delivering news like that.
Yeah.
So you beat it.
I did.
And how?
Well, shortly after those FU moments,
right?
I did something that surprised even me. I asked for a nurse to, and she came over and I said, can you bring me a pen and a piece of paper? And moments later, she brought the pen and the piece of paper, and that's when I started to write. I started to write my adventure list of all the things I was going to do and going to achieve and going to experience after I cleared an incurable cancer diagnosis.
Mm. So you call it an adventure list, not a bucket list.
Yeah.
Is there a reason?
Well, it goes back to the adventure principle. And essentially a bucket list and the adventure list, I guess, are very similar. Mm-hmm. But to me, adventures really resonated with me because more than anything in that moment, I just wanted to hop on a plane and go back to Italy, go back to Ireland.
Yeah.
But I was squeezed in such a tight little box. You know, here I am on a hospital bed, no energy, no ability to move beyond the bathroom, you know. My bank account was like in a precarious position. I had bought a condo and didn't have a job, didn't have insurance, was an entrepreneur, had no guarantee of an income. And yeah, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish these things on this adventure list, but, you know, I'm going to do it. Explain some of the other background pieces, you know. Okay. So to recap, there's this wonderful dream, and I'm about to, you know, realize it, get this diagnosis, but to set the scenes of most of my life, was trying to outrun an old story about myself.
Okay.
And that was a story of shame and abuse And that took place early on in my long-term marriage, which, you know, by that point I was no longer in that marriage. Mm-hmm. But that story, you know, just in a short synopsis was, you know, we, in the very early stages of our marriage, we ended up going to this commune and spent some time in a religious commune. So it's a story of extreme poverty and abuse.
Wow.
And both of us tried to cover it up and just carry on as though nothing had ever happened. Carried on like we're two normal people. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. You know, life is going to cause you to face your old stuff. Mm-hmm. And the more you try to step out of your comfort zone and do big things, the more it's going to say, wait a second, mm-hmm. you've got something here you need to address.
Right.
So, can you remind me of your question again?
Yeah. So, we were talking about, you had this determination that you were going to beat the cancer, and you did beat it. So I was, asking about how did you beat it? You said, well, the first thing was you said, I'm determined. You got a pad and you wrote out your adventure list. That was the first thing.
Yeah. The next thing was I had to figure out some way to deal with my old fears that were attached to an old story.
Right.
Some way to effectively manage those old fears. Mm-hmm. Because...
What was the fear?
The fear then was stepping into the treatment. Because I don't know if you can appreciate it, but there's a lot of fear around
the treatment,
chemo, radiation, and just all the negative side effects of mm-hmm. that. You know, what's going to happen to my hair? What's going to happen to my physical energy?
Yes.
You know, because you see so many consequences of that, and it's always painted in such a dire picture, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so that was my biggest fear.
And you said that your fear was connected to the abusive relationship you've been in.
Well,
it was something with your past that kind of burdened you with extra fear.
Extra fear, yeah.
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 So how did you shed that?
Interesting that you asked that, because I kept coming back to what I had written in my book, these principles that I had written down. And in my mind, I kept thinking, what if I apply that to this extended period of time that I have as a time off, you know, a time off with cancer? I can't work. I can't go anywhere. Other people would be happy for 2 years off. But in this circumstance, you know, it's not embraced with happiness. So how can I kind of essentially embrace this as an opportunity as opposed to like a really disadvantaged situation? So I decided to start treating it like that kind of adventure. And one of the things that I did when I was undergoing chemo, like just about to face chemo, was the first time I was there, I was sitting in that big comfy chair, you know, with the side rests and the cup holders, and you can move the seat, like the seat, so you got rest for your legs. I was sitting there and thinking, this could be a first class seat on an airplane.
Right.
And the nurse could be my flight attendant who's coming over with the comfy blanket, hooking me up with the cocktail. It's not a real cocktail. It's a chemo cocktail. But that's what I did. I closed my eyes and just imagined that I was in first class.
Nice.
And that this experience was actually going to really usher me into being able to travel the world, which was my big dream at the time.
Do you recall where you were traveling on that first trip? The first time you imagined this?
Italy.
Italy.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite spot?
It's one of them. Italy yeah. and Ireland. I mean, me they too. Just they just have soft spots in my heart.
Yeah. I've never been to Ireland. I have Irish in my ancestry.
Okay.
But I've been to Italy several times and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Me too.
So you're imagining you're flying to Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess emotionally it helped you feel better right away.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I look back, the oncologist told me that I was given 3 extremely toxic doses of chemo. And that by the first, like within the first couple of days of the first round, yeah, I'd lose my hair.
Wow.
Well, it hung on for past the second round, almost to the third round. And I didn't experience any nausea, very, wow. very few pains in my body, if any. I had good energy. I even went social dancing sometimes. And when I look back and checked out the blood work, you know, my charts, my blood work had actually improved in some areas.
Wow.
And my white blood cell count had hardly skipped a beat. You know, normally it's like 300. I think it went down to 220.
Yeah.
Which was really, really remarkable.
Wow. Was the doctor surprised, the oncologist? And
No. No, they were really not on my side the entire time. Mm. You know, kind of forbidding me from supplements or...
Really?
Know, yeah.
So they kind of, do you feel like they kind of treat it almost like a production line? Like they're not really looking at you as an individual, but they're getting through a certain number of patients and...
Just in my mind, what I sensed was going on there was I got the sense that they looked at me with a certain measure of judgment.
Mm.
Here I was diagnosed in the summer and I was starting to use holistic treatment, and maybe they thought, you know, you idiot, had you, you know, submitted yourself to our treatment much sooner, you wouldn't be in this predicament. So now we're going to, you know, keep on top of you and make sure that you follow our protocol rather than go your own way.
Right.
But.
Interesting. So out of this came a book and also an 8-week program.
Yes. The book is called Passport to Life, How I Overcame Incurable Cancer Through the Power of Travel.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's okay.
And the program, the larger scope of the program is called Heal Your Life After Cancer. Because what I've come to realize was that the real healing actually began after I was finished chemo.
Because
that's when I had to put together all the broken pieces of my life, my finances, my love life, or, you know, getting back into dating and feeling comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just feeling comfortable in my own skin again.
Right. Is, how did you come up with the 8-week format?
Well, it's something that I'm going to launch this fall.
Okay.
And I'm in the process of putting it together with contributors from places like New York, LA, London, and they're experts who deal in the area of intimacy, finances, fitness, nutrition, relationships, breath work, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so my particular area of expertise that I contribute to this is I help women reinvent themselves after cancer, or for that matter, trauma or loss.
Wow.
Because that's something that I had to do to really shed that old story of myself.
Yeah.
Was to completely reinvent myself, which sounds like it, you know, at first when you hear those words, you think, oh, that's not authentic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really rewriting your story about yourself, but you're really connecting with those lost parts and reclaiming them again in a brand new way.
Yeah. The book sounds really interesting. So What are some of the other chapters in the book that we could talk about? So there's a lot about travel in there.
There is. Right? There is a lot about travel. I mean, there's some really funny stories in there.
So personal stories.
Personal stories, for sure. Nice. Just how a first travel experience was the thing that made me fall in love with that kind of travel in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that was when my former husband asked me to accompany him on a studies abroad trip in Florence, Italy for 6 months, mm. 6 weeks, I should say. And the only way I would go with him is if we shared a small accommodation in Florence, Italy with another couple. Mm. And this other couple, once we got there, that's when I really noticed that they were like just night and day different from us.
Huh.
And
positive or negative?
Well, you know, at first you experience it as total negative, right?
Right.
By the end of the trip, it was just so life-changing.
Wow.
So life-changing.
So what did you learn from observing this other couple?
Well, I don't know if you've ever watched shows like Trading Spouses or Wife Swap. It was really like that, except all the spouses are together in one small space for 6 weeks.
Right.
So you see how that husband's relationship with his wife is and how it's completely different
from
yours.
Yeah, totally.
And what you accept, they don't.
Yeah.
What would you say was the most surprising thing from that experience?
The most surprising thing was that prior to that experience, I really thought I was happy.
Wow.
I really thought I had an amazing marriage. And, you know, there were good moments for sure. Mm-hmm. But there were also aspects of it that really needed to be addressed.
Right. And you can see the way this couple treated each other. And you were like, wow, this is something that.
Yeah, their ways started to rub off on me. Mm. And by the time I got home from that trip, I just really stepped into a different version of myself. Mm-hmm. Maybe not 100% authentic, you know, because that's the rebel you, you know. I was one way prior to that trip. By the end of that trip, I'm like a whole different version of me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Amazing. Is that story in the book?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited to read it. How do we find the book?
Right now it's on Amazon.
Okay. So is it in Kindle or paperback or both?
It's in Kindle, audiobook, paperback, hardcover.
Audiobook. So tell me a little bit about the audiobook. Did you do the vocals or did you hire someone?
I hired somebody.
And is it expensive?
No, it's not too bad.
Okay.
The last time I checked, I think it's $32.
$32 for the entire book?
Mm-hmm.
That seems really low. I mean, wouldn't it take a few hours to read it and studio time and everything else?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, this goes back to what I was saying about the old story,
mm-hmm.
was because I published that book in August of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 weeks from the first day, it went to bestseller on Amazon, you know, which has its own little slice of merits, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like New York Times or anything, but it's still an accomplishment.
Right.
And it stayed there for 2 weeks.
Nice.
And then I couldn't market it. Because I had to shift more of that old story.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you have plans for a second book?
Not quite yet.
Not yet. So more travel?
More travel, yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
What was your favorite wine varietal in Italy?
Well, I worked at an organic winery, which... Cool. At the time was really first of its kind back then.
Yeah. Mm.
And Tenuto San Vita was the winery. And
which region is this?
It's in Tuscany.
Tuscany, yeah.
Near, now some of these names are really hard to.
I know. I'm learning them.
Hard to express because I would go to the station, you know, because I had to take a train to get to the winery whenever I worked there, and I'd have to say the name to the ticketing agent, and I would just be completely stumbling over myself, and she'd go, "Scoozy," get really irritated with me because I couldn't say this.
The name of the winery.
Yes, I couldn't say it. Mm. So
Tuscany, wonderful. Did you have any more questions?
That was my only question.
That's great. That's awesome.
I have a thing for wine.
And was there anything else you wanted to cover? Because I asked all the questions that I had, and I'll edit this redundant little section. No problem.
Well, I'll be speaking next week. Should I?
Yeah.
Should I share
that? Yeah, okay. Sure. So tell us where you're speaking.
I'll be speaking at the Women's Fair next week.
Excellent.
And just really explaining more about why it's so important to reinvent yourself and to shed that old story. Mm-hmm. Because essentially, if you don't, you literally wear it like a pair of old clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins to affect every single area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So how I do that is in a fun way, just from the outside in, starting with your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of being in Kelowna is there's all these fantastic consignment places.
Yeah.
So true.
And so what I do is teach women how to put together something like the whole thing, the coat, the shoes, everything for $50 or maybe a little bit more. And that's the fun part is just really becoming playful with who am I becoming?
Mm-hmm.
You know, after you lose so much, people get stuck on the question, who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
And they lose their identity. But the exciting part is who can you become out of this?
Yeah. Very cool. So, Annie, who would you like to nominate to come on the show?
I would, as a mother,
right?
I would love to nominate my daughter.
Wonderful.
Sarah De La Cour.
Okay.
And if she's resistant, I would love to also nominate Chantel Adams. Now, Sarah, she's got a company called Brandstigator. Mm-hmm. So she's a social media marketer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you know who Chantel Adams is.
The name sounds familiar.
She does Center Stage Live here in Kelowna.
What's Center Stage Live?
It's a 3-day, I think, retreat where she hosts it at a winery. I think it's Sparkling Hills Winery. She brings in a videographer, makeup artist, and you then present your signature talk or your signature speech at her event, and it's filmed, and you can use those pieces for your marketing and your website and everything.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. We'll look forward to talking to the two of them.
Yeah.
Annie, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure, and I loved hearing about Italy. Yeah, it's been about 18 years since I've been to Italy, and I've been about 6 times in my life, but about 18 years since I was last there. So I've really got to get back.
It's time for you to go.
I think so.
And bring me.
Yeah.
Yes, right there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Luke.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Newtown Big Dreams podcast with your host, Luke Menkes, and his authentic guests. And we love our listeners and hope you subscribe now to learn more about the amazing journeys of our incredible guests who relocated to find a Newtown Big Dreams. And remember, make your dreams big.